Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
914. Hold on a second, Marie. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports in Depth is the show. It's Mother's Day! And, right, we had a mother of a fight last night, but it wasn't the main event. And without further ado, we're going to let Larry Hardesty kick us off, and then we're going to do the prayer. But Larry, introduce us, would you? Big C, how's things going with you now?
Absolutely wonderful.
Well, you know what? Let Larry talk.
It was a great Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful weather, and, you know, we can't ask for more.
Can't, hey, and we're grateful to have our mothers alive. Hold on a second.
Absolutely.
Big C. Marie, you want
to
join us?
Want to give thanks to those who helped raise us and brought us into this world.
Yeah, I'm looking tonight to have...
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
And keep that number handy for you. As always, Sports in Depth and Mr. Coltrane, could you lead us in prayer, please? Dear Lord, thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for you being the father and the maker of great mothers. We ask you to give us not so much what we want, but what we need. We thank you for being our God. And we thank you, as I heard a man said, pray that even though we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live in the park. Or park bench. Your will, your way. Bless my beloved mother, Charlie's mother. All the mothers of Daniel. And Miss Marie Rejew is going to grow and join us. And more importantly, that your will be first and foremost in our lives. And we ask these blessings, all the blessings. Name your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Well, Big Z, we
should have
the panel kicking in pretty soon. I've got Marie Rejew.
We have two with us right now.
Well, one of them should be the incomparable First Lady of Boxing from Queens, the Marie Ruggiero. Are you there, Marie? Okay, she'll be joining us shortly.
Exactly. Here.
Okay, and hey, well, like I said, the mothers are calling in. There's Dusty.
No, that's a great one, Dusty. And Mel Smith Jr. is with
hey,
you.
Hey, Mel Jr. Welcome, panel. Welcome.
A pleasure.
Gentlemen, Mother's Day greetings where they're accordingly, and Mother's Day memories where they're accordingly. Great day. And I heard a pastor say today something that was just really in prayer, and he said, you know, Lord, we thank you for everything. And even though I may not live on Park Avenue, but I thank you that I don't live in the park on a park bench. Wow. Profound. You know, I remember a lady prayed years ago, she said, no, you're God all by yourself. Didn't turn out little Coco to be the fight of the year.
Well, I said if he had anything left, it had a possibility of that. Mm-hmm. I said otherwise, he'd basically get beat up, which is what happened. as far as I'm concerned, the fight went pretty much according to, you know, what I expected. I thought Shane May coming was a type of an early boost, you know, the adrenaline and everything else. But I figured that Pacquiao would basically kind of wear him down and wear him out, which is basically what happened over the course of the long fight.
And Dusty?
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, I was right in one thing. It went the distance. It went the distance, but the decision was to the wrong party because I figured Shane was going to pull it out. Like I said, I went with Shane all along, and he was going to box, punch, move. But he seemed to become gun shy after he got knocked down, and all he did was pity patty and jab going backwards instead of forward. And Pacquiao, and I'm going to use this phrase, Manny being Manny, he went out there little by little
Manny being Manny, yo, you got a lot of nerve using
right,
that phrase the way you dog Manny Ramirez. And
job,
now you got
Jack,
Manny
you know.
Being Manny.
Manny being Manny.
Boy,
being
you
Manny.
Got a lot of nerve, boy. It's
Manny
a good thing
being...
you know what? Mel, I'm going to let this happen because he's going to the doctor tomorrow, so hopefully he'll be healed after tomorrow.
But this is what I use in my column. I said, Manny being Manny Pacquiao. He was going to find his way little by little, but and you saw him little by little. He was going to edge his way, get a little aggressive, get, you know. But I figured Shane was going to use that formidable jab and his right hand.
The first round I gave to Shane. The first. Hold on. Did Marie join us yet? Marie, are you here?
I called the round even, man.
Well,
Harold
was
just here.
Hey, Harold.
Hey, how you doing?
I gave the first round to so I mean, it could have been even, but I gave it to
I
Shane.
I called it even round.
The
man.
Second round I gave to Pacquiao. Pacquiao won the third round, and then this funny thing, Levi Nemus I was watching the fight, and you know Pacquiao knocked him down. After he got knocked down, he ran the rest of the fight. And the thing that I could not. Harold, I thought you wouldn't come back to Monday. I couldn't think. I could not
I'm
help.
I'm not back. I'm out of town.
Okay. Oh, good. Where you at, Harold? Florida, right?
Yeah, I'm in Florida.
Let
yeah.
You know. And Harold, I thought about you every single round. I said Harold must be. About the fourth round, I said Harold must be puking, because every round they came out tapping gloves. All he did was.
Yeah.
I thought Harold. I thought he was going to kiss him.
Well, I told you. I told you before, he hasn't fought a good fight in 5 years. And, I mean, I don't know what's why this fight was going to be any different. And the fact is that Shane don't have the biggest heart in the world. Okay?
Hey, we saw that.
He never had the biggest heart in the world, because I knew that when he fought Fawns, what's his name? Vernon Forrest. And when Vernon Forrest spanked him, I knew right then and there he didn't have the biggest heart in the world. And so, basically... You know, I knew that Manny Pacquiao, it was just a warm-up fight for Manny Pacquiao. That's all
it
is.
It was a sparring session.
It was a sparring session. And Manny just did what Manny was going to do, and it wasn't a tough fight, and he wasn't going to give Manny a tough fight, and that was the bottom line. Like I told you before, he's going for the payday because he needed the money, and he got that rich girl, that little pretty girl he got. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen now.
That little pretty girlfriend.
You know what? I remember... There was a basketball player, the late Clayton Riley. There's a basketball player. He was dating a girl, and he was in competition for a spot with another player. And he said he had loved this girl so much he was thinking about quitting basketball. Man, so he better not do that. He said, because the guy have his spot on the team and his girl. I have a spot on the team and his girl. You know what I mean?
That's right.
It reminds me of that great phrase, man, from the Wild Bunch, man. And they have this scene here where they catch it with the general. And they're sitting down drinking, and this girl comes up. It was Ben Johnson made the cut. This girl said, "Hey, general," she had this beautiful horse, and they said, "Wow, look at that horse." So as the girl walks up to go to the general, she stops and says something to the guy, and they speak in Spanish, and she goes on, and then, you know, he sits down, and they look up, and he's sitting on the general's lap, and he's kissing in his ear. He says, "You know, she used to be my girl." And Ben Johnson said, looked at her kissing the general. Looked at him. He said, "Well, she sure ain't your girl no more."
let me tell you about the women's situation in this boxing. When a woman's on her standing up, screaming and yelling for her man, she ain't yelling for him to win. She's saying, "Baby, you're messing up that money. You gotta come on and hit him, baby. You ain't gonna get paid no more if you don't hit him and win." The woman that loves her man. She sits down and don't say nothing. She's going to be with him forever. If you notice that, every woman that stays with the man in boxing, and you know she's going to be, you don't never see them get up and yell and scream or say a word.
I pay close attention to that kind of stuff when I'm watching a fight. And, you know, panel, Al's absolutely right. When a female's really into a dude, you know, you can see her heart just pulsating on every punch that he's taking. No whole lot of rah, rah, rah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mother's Day. We've got the panel is also bringing you Secrets of Real Love here on Sports Talk.
Right, but even though you're on your way out.
Who's this?
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
Dusty?
No, yeah, but even though Manny Pacquiao has always been
one
a constant.
Dusty, we're being romantic. We don't hear about Pacquiao. Hold back.
Hold
we're being romantic.
Well, you know, we are talking about the same subject matter.
Well, yeah, hey,
but
listen.
What
we
got to
do from that fight last night, there's nothing to talk about.
Look, you either discuss it or don't discuss it at length.
The fight was, you know what, it looked like the first two rounds. Hold on, did Marie join us yet? Marie Ujiri?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Marie Ujiri to the panel, Dusty Destaniel Lois, legendary from SARFM, the Latin Odyssey, Little Coco, Mel Smith Jr., former WF star. You know, of course, legend Harold Weston Jr. and the
of
man
course.
Of controls. Big C. You know, Dusty, the thing about that fight last night was
what
that...
What I was trying to tell you is, you talk about the women involved in boxing. You see, even though Manny Pacquiao has been a winner, you never even see his wife screaming or hollering. She just sits there like anybody else. That's exactly what it is. But there are women who are excitable. Yes, there are women who go out there and scream. Cotto's wife got up and screamed and she cried when he got killed and walked out. Well, this is a philosophy, but that's beside the point. What I'm saying is the fight was a stinkeroo from way back. What I don't like, and it takes me back to my day, I hated shaking hands with a freaking dude, even after the referee gave you instructions.
What I'm trying to tell you
is this loving, this high five before the round, high five after the round, and this loving kissing was a piece of garbage. It reminded me of the Roy Jones and Bernard Hopkins.
I said that earlier. I said, you know, when he was on that he was praising Manny Pacquiao and everything
exactly.
else. How great! I knew right then and there he wasn't going to win the fight.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't praise nobody better than you.
That weeks ago, and
exactly.
you know, for two things here, you know, you made that kind. I had a buddy in Brazil. He said, you know what? It's a little sign. He said, you know, if the girl is really into you. When you speak Portuguese incorrectly, she'll correct you. And if she's not into you, no, she'll let you say whatever you're saying and let it go on. Now, we've got the First Lady of Boxing of Queens. And the thing about this fight, too, and you said it so long ago, Harold, that, you know, that with the praise and the accolades, and I said, you know, the one thing about Duran, whoever Duran fought, Duran said, I'm going to kill him.
Right.
I don't like it.
Mother, Chino says the same thing.
Who's that?
Victor Chini and the Bantamweight. He said
the
same thing.
I
remember
Vic
when
used
Duran
to go out
fought
to do that, though.
When Duran fought Arthur Fermo. Not Arthur Fermo, when he fought Vito Adolfo. He told Vito Adolfo at the press conference. He said, look, he told Adolfo, he said, I've already kicked your brother's ass. Friday,
yeah.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Your
bring
ass.
Your father so after the fight, I can kick his ass.
That's
what I love, man. Marie,
yeah.
We got
yes.
Rudy Ruggiero. Last night, you went along with Pacquiao.
My husband went along with Sugar.
Well, you did have to bring it up. You didn't have to bring. But I mean, Marie. I mean,
we all, some of us went to Sugar.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dusty. That's true. But Marie, last night, it just looked like a sparring session, Marie.
That's what you spoke to me earlier, and you said that. I'm sorry, gentlemen. I did not see the fight last night, but that's what you told me.
No, you didn't miss anything.
Right.
There's no question about that. But now the thing here, you know the fight that got me, and but I look at it now that I look back at it. How I remember the fight just before the main event.
Semi-final.
Yeah,
should have been
right.
The main event.
Yeah. As it turned out, it was the main event. You know what I mean? But the thing is, looking at the scorecard, I think the Mexican still would have won, but I was upset. I said, you know, Cortez did a great job of not stopping that fight. The kid was ducking punches, and then he did the one thing, Harold, that you had. He finally grabbed the guy and held him, and then what happens? His father stops the fight, Harold.
Yeah,
his father made
a big mistake.
His father was, that's how come they back in the day, they never wanted fathers and sons to be, a father to be
exactly.
the trainer of a fighter, because
exactly.
they know that sympathy was always going
to
be there for his son.
And I'm so sorry to pick you up.
And the thing that he did there is that his son did a good fight. Don't get me wrong, he lost the fight, and even if he'd have went to dinner, that was a good fight for this kid. Believe
why,
me,
exactly.
because
hold on, Big C, after controls, we're looking for Baby Milo to come in, so be aware of him.
You got it.
Okay, Harold, why was it a good... You know, and Marion Borkin has said this. Marion Borkin says the greatness and the character of a fighter is not so much as what he does after he loses or what he does after he hits the canvas, you know? Harold.
The thing is that the young man fought a courageous fight. What he didn't expect, that season pro was in good shape, and he made this kid fight.
Exactly.
The kid
wasn't used
to that kind of pressure and that kind of pace.
Exactly.
But the kid stood up. The kid stood up, and he's going to learn a lot from this loss. And what made him really proud is that he didn't want to get stopped, but the fact is that he took them shots. He came right back. He was always in the fight. I didn't think he was winning, but the fact that is a good learning experience for him, and I think he's going to be a better fighter if his father don't work in the corner no more.
Exactly.
The thing is, he cares too much with
Vasquez is that these guys, if you look at the history of these undefeated dudes, and I think, Harold, I hope you agree with me, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. These freaking guys go undefeated, and they don't, like Manny Pacquiao said, every time I go out there, I have to get better.
Right.
And this is what the heck is going on. Vasquez, I've seen him 3 or 4 times, fought the same stupid way, with his head up in the air and flaying around. You hit me, and I hit you back with a jaw up in the air. That's exactly. And when he's trying to fight, I said, this dude is going to get killed. And sure enough, he was. When he hit him with that hook, that's what he should have learned. I can catch him with my hook. I can keep him at bay with my jab. I don't have to knock him out. But he stupidly went out there and traded punches with a little animal. And this Arce, man, he fought Darchinian. He fought all these guys, Darchinian knocked him out, but he fought a war. This guy's a warrior. And the way he fought the 12th round, is exactly the way he fights. His father stupidly should not have stopped. First of all, he was a champion. Let him lose on his back. Number one. Number two.
Let him get knocked down first.
Let him get knocked down. One. Number two, the freaking, what was it, 159 left or 2 minutes left?
And
he wasn't getting hit any killing blows. He got hit, but he was still fighting back.
You got to take your hat off. If the referee didn't stop, and you saw the slow-mo, the guy was throwing a lot of punches, but he wasn't landing anything. And the one thing the kid needed to do was to grab him, and he grabbed. I said, "This is great." He grabbed him. The way it looked too, as you look at the scorecards, because at that point, two judges had a draw. One had the other guy behind. So if he wins that round, he wins the 2 out of 3 rounds. But you made a tremendous point. But Harold,
I'm with what he said. What you got to do now is get rid of the father, because the father has took the kid as far as he can, get another trainer, a real good trainer, now to adjust this kid to be, he can be a good little fighter, but the kid is definitely got to get his father out. Let his father get a ringside seat and that's it, but don't work with the kid anymore, you know what I'm saying?
Because
the kid will never make it.
Would you guys believe it that at the 11th round, I had 105-104 Vasquez? That 12th round was the one that decided the fight.
Well, yeah, and there's no doubt that he won the 12th round. I mean, he was good. But the point is, it's the going out on your shield, standing up. On the other hand, it seems like Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network. The show is saying Happy Mother's Day across the globe, across the world, to all the mothers across. Well, you know, the funny thing about Mother's Day, is celebrated across the world, I believe, on this day. And yet Father's Day is not the same. You know, my daughter, Dim, I got to get the card that Demi sent me for Father's Day. It's a funny card. But Father's Day is in Brazil, it's in August. And I don't believe it's celebrated all across the country. And if I'm correct, Father's Day was instituted before Mother's Day. In fact, it was a daughter who wrote about her father, who had done such a great job after the passing of her mother, and that became her father. I'm going to get the card that Demi had. Big C, give us that commercial break. We're going to come back, talk to Marie about what she thinks should be happening in the future in boxing. And Sports and Depth says Happy Mother's Day across the world, spanning the globe to all the mothers, and in memory of the great mothers that have gone on before us, and also to some of the fathers that have been great mothers too. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Town Sports Evidence Show. Happy Mother's Day, Big C. Hit us with a commercial, please.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Okay, Lady A, did you join us yet? I got to catch up. Marie.
Doc,
yeah.
can I put a nail on the Vasquez thing?
Hold on, Dusty. Baby Milo, you got us? Are you in?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Baby Milo,
here.
Baby Milo, how you doing?
Okay. What'd you say?
I said I've been right here for the past 20 minutes.
Okay,
well, you got to say something.
Let us know you're here.
Yeah.
Marie.
Yeah, let me finish up this thing out here, okay?
About what?
In the Vasquez thing, the thing is, yes, you won't have to worry about the father being ordered out of the ring. I mean, not to train him anymore, because I think his son took care of that. If you saw the argument in the corner after it was stopped, mm-hmm. the father tried to pacify him, and he walked away from the father, and tú no tenías que parar la pelea, if you could read lips in Spanish. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to stop the fight. And the father said, you know, I had to. I said, you did not have to stop the fight. He was visibly angry at his father. So that means Harold don't have to worry about it anymore. If things being things, I don't think he's going to work the corner.
Okay, Harold, why could your father be in your corner? Why could Wilfred Benitez's father be in his corner? Why could Harold Davis' father be in his corner and it work and this guy can't? Why, Harold?
Well, I mean, you know, Howard Davis' father didn't work in his corner, but so far
no.
He only had the amateur. When he got turned pro, it was a different ball game.
Okay.
Benitez and my father, they're like the same mold kind of guys. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying? They made us be men before we were really men. So I mean,
exactly.
you know, it was just based like that, and we couldn't hang with our fathers if we weren't gonna be men. I mean, we had to show our dad. We wanted to be proud. We wanted to be proud
exactly.
of us. So we did what we did. We fought hard, and to whatever they said, we didn't talk. We just said put them in there, and we learned the skills. We were very fortunate just to have good trainers and good fighters around us to learn the skills of boxing.
Absolutely.
And that was our blessing.
But then you have the other side of the fence, Harold, where Roy Jones Jr. and his dad couldn't see eye to eye as far as
that's what I'm saying.
Was that a situation that they couldn't see eye to eye, or it came to the point once again that it got to a certain point and Roy was so talented that he kind of carried his father, and when he got to a certain level, he had to cut his father loose because he wound up with Murkison in his corner.
Well, the thing is that he didn't learn anymore. I mean, he stayed at the same. You got to understand, when a young man does not learn anymore, his father took him to a level that he only knows, and that's the farthest he can go. But if there's more to learn, then he overshadowed his father. Then he feels that his father had nothing to give him. Then he wants to, you know, go about his own. But my father always had something to tell me. I always was learning something every day in the gym. I mean, believe me, every day. So I wasn't going anywhere because I knew I couldn't get that knowledge from nowhere else.
Exactly.
It was at the Roy Jones Jr. fight that I first met Marie Ruggiero. I'm down there, Roy Jones fighting Vinny Pazienza, and they had a pre-fight party.
Cocktail party.
Yeah, because Leroy had, in fact, Lynn said they got a good deal on it, and his lady says, "Hey, I know you. You're Dr. Stanley from working on boxing." And we've been close friends ever since. Marie, you know, there's
that was
thing.
In June of 95.
95. In fact, mm-hmm. you know, I had just left Yankee Stadium where they did the first ever Negro League tribute. I got Art Rush to MC the show, and we came down to AC, and my brother came to that show. Marie, the you know, Pacquiao, and he said last night, you know, if the fight happens, it does. If it doesn't, and I want Baby Milo to come behind Marie. In your mind, are we going to have Pacquiao Mayweather, and who would win that fight?
I would say Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Hey, why?
For a change.
Why? Why?
He's stronger.
Hmm. Now, do you the way things are going? You think the fight's going to happen, or I mean, down the line,
yes.
Really?
I see Mayweather at a lot of fights now,
mm-hmm.
and I think eventually it will happen. I'm hoping it's going to happen. How's that?
Well, baby Milo,
I'm right here.
Yeah. Well, I know you. Come on, talk to me. I mean, do you Mayweather, Pacquiao, will it happen? And who do you pick winning that fight?
I see the fight happening because it's going to be a lot of money involved. You know, when there's a lot of money, things can happen. And I give Mayweather an edge to win that fight because Mayweather's defense is better than Pacquiao. Mayweather's accuracy in punches is better than Pacquiao. And when I was watching the fight yesterday, and it was a boring fight, and I'm looking at Pacquiao, I'm like, this guy can't stand next to Mayweather. So I got Mayweather winning the fight if he fights with Pacquiao.
Mm. Now, Dusty, you don't like Mayweather's insinuations, but you do like him being the guy that can win the fight if they have to fight.
Oh, I've had Mayweather since the day he had Pampers beating Pacquiao. And I'm telling you, I kid you not, he is the most prolific super counter puncher in the world.
You know, it's funny you say that. That's the one thing that Freddie Roach told me. That's the first thing Freddie Roach told me about Mayweather. He said, I see the fight happening, but he said, it's a tough fight. I forget, you guys are all top ranked guys. Anyway, excuse me, I'm sorry, Dusty, you're all top ranked guys, but you're not. The first thing he said, Dusty. That's the first thing he said. The guy is such a tremendous counterpuncher.
Exactly. He is the supreme counterpuncher. Number one, tragically, and I say it, and I go on record, it's not going to happen. Floyd doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to risk his losing his undefeated record. One.
That's exactly
He doesn't want to go through the pain of beating a machine of destruction. I'm telling you, that's the truth. Floyd Mayweather.
And Dusty, Floyd loves being able to say. I mean, I think he regards this in more high esteem than anything else. He loves being able to say that he's what. 35-0, 37-0,
whatever it is. Dusty, you were there at the Garden, and that's the thing that Aram emphatically said. He doesn't want to lose, and he likes the undefeated tag.
Exactly. Now, let me tell you something. Ask yourself, in the last 10 Mayweather fights, when did you see Mayweather with a nosebleed, puff lips, get knocked down, a little bracing on his face? Never. Never.
Never.
In fact, the closest to a defeat was that split decision to Oscar De La Hoya, which I gave to Oscar myself. But Mayweather has never gone through the turmoil. The only time he went through a turmoil that I thought he lost was when he fought Jose Luis Castillo. Castillo pounded him, and they gave it to Mayweather. And I still say that Castillo beat him. But he's still undefeated, and that's his, the chip that you carry on your shoulder. I am undefeated. I'm pound for pound. I'm this and that. But he knows that he can beat, heart of hearts, he knows he can beat Pacquiao, but he doesn't want to go through the pain of beating a machine like Pacquiao. Pacquiao like I think I said before, if Pacquiao was a heavyweight, the Klitschkos are in trouble because this dude will eat him alive. And that's how he fights. But Mayweather does not have confidence, and that's what it is. I hate to say he's scared like a lot of people, but he doesn't have confidence in his ability to beat the unbeatable. And he's the Waterloo. But tragically, it's not going to happen because you see the obstacles that Mayweather is putting in front. Right now, he demands $100 million guarantee to fight Pacquiao.
Right, yeah.
I mean, who's going to give him that money?
Well, Dusty, what you're telling me then? What you're telling me?
Yeah.
And what you're saying here, Harold, is that this Kool-Aid went through his veins. I mean, if you can beat the guy, Harold, is there Kool-Aid running through his veins?
Well, I always say it was Kool-Aid running through Floyd's veins. I mean, basically, everybody's seeing the fact that Floyd is winning these fights and he's picking out guys that he wants to pick to win.
One from column A, one from column B.
So the bottom line is that Mayweather is just getting away what he wants to get away with. But right now, you still got to understand, he's not fighting. You got to say, he is not fighting. And if you're not fighting, you're not going to be sharp. I don't care how much you think he can do all this counterpunching. All right? He's not fighting. And if he fights Manny Pacquiao any time now, after almost being out the ring almost 2 years, he is going to get his butt beat and is going to be beaten bad. I wouldn't be surprised if he just stopped in the fight because he has not been fighting. And you got to be fighting to fight a guy like a Manny Pacquiao. And Manny is fighting all the time. And you can believe
somebody,
that.
Hold on. Somebody cried out. When can they talk? Who's that?
Yo, is this Dan Lee?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Money Money.
Money Money.
Tell me you remember me.
Money, you're joining us.
Yeah, I didn't know if you could hear me or not because I thought I was just waiting in line to talk to you.
No. We're glad you joined the show here. We got the panel. We're talking about last night's fight.
Yeah, what'd you think about last night's fight?
Well, you've been listening. We didn't think it was too much of a fight, more of a sparring session. Your opinions here now.
I wasted my money on that fight. Let me tell you, 10th, 11th round, that should have been a knockout. You know what happened? Pacquiao took it easy on him. They were friends. They were all smacking hands at end of every round. And then I think when he fell, he tripped or he got pushed down. And then
exactly. If you watch the replay, you know, that's the amazing thing.
No,
and you bring up a good point. You know, the fight before, Joe Cortez does a great job of not stopping the fight, staying right on top of it. This referee is a blatant push, and he scores a knockdown. If the fight was close, I mean, this Pacquiao could have lost to Mosley on a knockdown that didn't even. I mean, it reminds me of that time where Chuck Webner stepped on Ali's foot and Ali tripped.
That was a biased referee.
Yeah.
Well,
obviously anybody you asked would say, oh, he was obviously pushed down.
Well, there wasn't too much referee last night. I mean, it was.
Bayless is a good referee. He just made a stupid mistake because he probably was at a wrong angle.
It was a bad mistake. But you know what? They were at the end of every round. They were still friendly until that happened, and then I think Pacquiao was pretty pissed off.
But he shouldn't get mad at he should have been mad at Mosley anyway, and the referee made the bad mistake there.
I think he was disappointed because earlier in the fight he was taking it easy and trying to make a good fight out of it, and I think if he knew it was going to turn out like that, he would have went at him harder earlier.
Well, you know what? No, but he did say something, and I don't know if you caught it, Milo, but at the end of the fight, he had a concerned look. Where he talked about he had some problem with his leg. Did you catch that, Milo?
Yes. He has arthritis in his legs.
Okay, well, Milo, did you catch that part?
Yeah, I saw that part.
He talked about it for about 5 minutes after the fight. My leg.
Now, Harold, with that thought, with the fact that he has, could that kind of balance out the fact that Mayweather, one, even though he hasn't been fighting that much, at the same time, not taking too much wear and tear, and maybe the wear and tear of fighting and this leg problem could kind of balance things out if he fought Pacquiao, Harold?
No, not really. I think that, you know, it won't help him at all because Mayweather is the kind of guy that, you know, he's got to stay active to be sharp in a fight.
Exactly.
If he don't have that activity, I don't care what anybody says.
Exactly.
Pacquiao's going to beat the dog at him. Pacquiao done went 12 rounds already in his last two fights with some pretty good fighters, even if he is a blowout. But he's active, and that's the key point. He's active.
Pacquiao
and Mayweather cannot – and he can't –
Absolutely.
And Floyd cannot stay up with that pressure. You got to understand, that kid is going to come out there blazing. He's throwing like 50 or 70 punches around with the other guys up there hesitating, waiting. And Floyd ain't got the best stamina in the world either now. That's the other
key
point.
Did you guys catch that Pacquiao threw double the punches and landed double the punches?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go,
panel. And we're going to start with Manny. Is Paul Williams ever going to come back, Manny? Manny? Hello? Is my panel still here?
Yeah,
I'm right here.
Okay, well, my question is, Marie, we'll start with Marie Ruggiero, then everybody take a shot at it.
Hey, guys, I love you. You're doing great. I'm listening to the rest of the show. I'm sorry I got kids all over the place here. Hey, can I get a shout-out that I'm having another baby?
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Before you go, one question before you leave us. Is Paul Williams, is Paul Williams ever going to come back in your mind? Is he gone? Is he done?
He's done.
Really? Why?
I think, look, you know what? Boxing is done.
You know what? You agree with Harold Weston says the same thing. Anytime MMA leaps over boxing, and the fact that you can't get a fight like Pacquiao.
Here's my comment about that. Pacquiao needs to lose. Much as I love seeing the guy fight, he needs to lose, and the problem is there's nobody he can compete against to make a good fight. It's kind of like the Rocky Marciano problem. He wins all these fights. He's a great fighter, but there's always that comment of, well, what if he had a better fighter to fight against?
Why did Rocky Marciano come in there? I don't understand that.
Oh, well, Rocky Marciano won. Didn't he win every fight? How many times did he lose?
Yeah, but, I mean, he had people that he could fight. I didn't understand why, you know, I didn't get that.
Because,
yeah,
you know,
some people
will say he's the most amazing fighter and he never lost a fight, but some people will also say he never lost a fight because he never had somebody as good as him to fight.
He's trying to say
that's a lie.
Trying to say,
but,
No. He fought the best out there. He fought the walkouts. He fought the Jersey Joe.
But you know what, Dusty,
what do we got today who can fight?
Nobody
wants
Marciano,
to fight Pacquiao.
Marciano and Evander Holyfield were both great champions, but everybody they fought was over the hill. Okay? He fought an over the hill Jersey Joe Walcott. He fought an over the hill Archie Moore. He fought an over the hill Ezra Charles. And every guy gave him a life and death. When he fought Joe Lewis, Joe was beating him. Same thing with Vander.
Have you forgotten?
Fought an over the hill George Foreman, all right? Over the hill Larry Holmes. Great champions. But they,
well,
to me, a great champion is a guy like Ali, okay? A guy like Durant.
And Joe Frazier.
And Smokey Joe. They fought
right.
The best, and they fought
the
over and over again.
Yes. The best within that era, but have you forgotten that Joe Lewis wiped out all of the top contenders, and he had to go on a bum of the month campaign to keep busy.
Muhammad Ali took care of the guys that was in front of him. At least Joe fought guys the same age and the same bracket. Everybody that Marciano fought was over the hill and gave him life.
You know how you find a good contender for Pacquiao is if he almost loses. Find me somebody that he almost loses to, and I'll say, there you go, you've had a good fight. You finally found somebody you can fight.
You know what's funny? And Harold, and the one guy that was giving Pacquiao, we'll let Maria, come, Marie George, the one guy that was giving Pacquiao a good fight, but he dogged it, and HBO doesn't want him on TV no more, was Cloudy, Marie. Cloudy was giving Pacquiao every time he landed,
absolutely.
Hurt him.
That fight I saw.
For 12 rounds.
Yeah, hold on, Marie, let him in, Marie. You concur?
Unfortunately, I think what's gonna happen now is we're gonna have to wait for Pacquiao to get older, weaker, slower for him to start finding good matches.
Well,
what do you mean good matches? This is what he has. Whatever he has in front of him are good matches. You forget one thing, that he is. The catchweight champ. Why? He had to fight guys bigger than him to keep busy. He fought a Margarito who presented no problem, but then Margarito was 17 pounds older than him and bruised him. If you look at Pacquiao, at the end of that fight, he had to go to the hospital himself because he feared he had broken ribs. His hands were swollen. He couldn't find anything. If you look at his face, it looked like he went to a mini meat grinder. And yet he beat the crap out of my guy.
Let me tell you, how much did Pacquiao came up, what, 15, 20 pounds yesterday?
Pacquiao weighed, 145? At best, when he goes to fight camp, he'll weigh 147 or 148. Now,
so
Shane
Pacquiao
Mosley,
can fight heavy and he can still beat him. I mean, this is a guy that he's hard to find somebody to challenge.
This is what I'm trying to tell you. He is fighting what they put up in front of him. Nobody. I thought Berto will get out of that skill and fight him while he's still undefeated. No good. We all prayed on our hands and knees for the Mayweather. No good. He had to fight what he had placed in front of him. And Pacquiao now is the money man. He made $25 million last night. For Margarito, he made $22.5 million. Why should he not continue fighting? He had whoever wants to fight him. Shane Mosley says, I've always wanted to fight him. Shane Mosley took only a lousy $5 million to just to fight Pacquiao. For what?
Last night, Shane Mosley lost the fight. How come the only person missing from Mosley's introduction was Oprah? He got everybody he could for the intro.
I mean, he lost the fight in his girlfriend last night. I mean, this is. I mean,
you know, let me ask you a question. Why did Jamie Foxx sing? I didn't understand that whole thing.
I had no idea. This is all Hollywood stuff.
Jamie, I guess Jamie was getting the cut of Pacquiao's money too. What's that? We had the anthem from Philippines, our anthem, America the Beautiful,
LL Cool J
brought him in. The only person who was missing was Dusty in the corner of Pacquiao.
Singing like in Kenya, I know, but...
Milo, but I mean, I said to myself, Dusty will be here any minute, and then if Dusty's there, somewhere around here, here goes Mel Smith Jr., little Coco. We've got Coco here.
Hey, you guys see when he was singing Eye of the Tiger, he was trying to...
Eye of the Tiger.
He was pushing Pacquiao out the screen.
Because boxers become show business. That's why I agree with Harold. It's show business here, and everything is show and tell. What the hell does LL Cool J have to do? Oh, that's my boy, so I'm going to sing for him. Big deal, man.
Hey, this is a war. Pipe down. LL Cool J is a Grammy Award winner, baby. Pipe down.
What?
Y'all need to stop talking about my man like that.
Oh, yes, she is.
You'll be all over there.
Yes, she is. Okay, it stops now, baby.
Lady.
Hey, Coco, let me ask you a question. Here's my question, because I came into the show right when you guys were talking about it, and I might have missed out. Is Floyd Mayweather scared? And if he is, you know, what is his response when people say, are you scared? Why aren't you fighting? Hold on.
What we're going to do, we got the ladies here. We're going to start with Marie Ruggiero. She'll be first. Lady A, you follow. Marie, is Floyd Mayweather scared?
No. And it's guaranteed it will happen within 2 years. Bob Arum will put up $100 million.
2 years?
Oh, it will happen within 2 years.
2 years. Floyd Mayweather will be a senior citizen.
Maybe next year.
All right, Lady A.
You'll be 35.
Lady A. Well, yes. Are we going to have Pacquiao and Mayweather? And is Mayweather scared?
I think that's a heavy statement to say that Mayweather's scared. I just think that, you know, he's a moneymaker. Who knows? Maybe this is a build-up for him to come up with a nice large cash cow. You never know, you know. I think that saying that he's scared may be something of like a drastic statement. I mean, he comes from the boxing gods, pretty much. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, look, his father, his uncle. I mean, he's surrounded by boxing. I don't think he's scared at all. I mean, he's the kind of guy that's gonna build up the fight. I mean, Harold's the best one to talk about that. I mean, you know, he's a promoter. He'll tell you this guy's all about hyping up a fight.
Harold, that's the thing. And you too, Dusty, you fought. I mean, can a guy that gets in the ring who's been a champion, can he really be afraid to fight the guy, Harold?
Let me tell you, Harold Weston, go ahead. Let me just say this.
You wait around something, you might miss out on something. Manny Pacquiao was in a car accident yesterday before the fight. All right. Mm-hmm. Now you sit around and thinking that this fight is going to be around forever. You're going to miss out on a big opportunity. So your best thing, especially in boxing, is the opportunity's there. If you think you can beat the guy, Mayweather thought he can really beat Manny Pacquiao. He would take the fight and jump on in a minute.
Sure,
he's not going to do that because he knows that fight is a fight that is risky, and he knows he can lose it. And I will say that he's scared because he likes that zero on back of his record, and he's scared he's going to get that one. And that's the only thing about it. Because let me tell you something, when you're undefeated and you stay undefeated as long as he has, your whole nerves inside gets really worked up because now you know you can lose that one fight that you don't want to lose. And that's the whole thing with him right now. He's scared to death of that situation.
So you don't think that's a lie? So Harold, you don't think this is a ploy on his part? Hold on.
Lady A, come on.
So Harold, you don't think this is a ploy on his part? I mean, he could have fought him like 2 years ago, really. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not. He just don't want to make that scared run. Because you got to say, he's being glorified right now by his friends. All right?
But hold up, Harold. Let me just throw this at you. I mean, not for nothing, but this is just something I was thinking about last night. Right? I didn't get to see the whole entire fight.
You didn't miss anything. Keep going. No.
I mean, I saw rounds 8 through 12, and I saw the old Mosley that fought Floyd Mayweather. Now, to me, you know, he's obviously not the same guy that everybody was saying fought Cotto and fought De La Hoya. He's not the same guy. He's not the same fighter. But one of the things that I thought about, I don't know if you guys caught it on the post interview, was, hey, you know what? You got to give Mosley the credit. He's fought everybody pretty much already. You know, and when he got up and he said, in front of the microphone, I have never been hit the way I was hit when I was hit in the third round, and I did not want to take risks. Hey, he walked out of the
fight. You know what? Hold on. Hold on. Marie, I want you to bring it. You know, how much of that was orchestrated? I mean, because, you know, I can't give him any credibility for every round he's patting gloves, everything he's got. I mean, I think he was part of the program. I mean, I can give him no credibility in what he said. He's been praising the guy all along. I mean,
Doc, because talk is cheap.
There you go. Marie.
Well, Doc, you're right, but what I'm saying to you is, you know, hey, it takes a lot for somebody to stand up there and say, hey, you know what? I never got hit like that. Look at Cotto. After the fight, Cotto said the same thing. He's never been hit.
Excuse.
Justify
his ineptitude.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. You know what? You know, this is the guy, the best pitcher ever saw. Boom, boom, boom. So that's why he went 0-4. He ain't Koufax, but he's the best ever saw. Marie, your thoughts on that. Is Mayweather scared?
No. I think he's biding his time.
Okay.
When he's ready, he's going to be in the ring again.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you.
Hold on.
Let me get a word in edgewise.
Hold on, Mel. Mel, you come behind her. Marie, can we put credence in what Mosley said last night? Or is he in your – well, you listened to the fight. Okay. But, I mean, from what you heard and from what we said of where he fought, can you put credence in what Mosley said about Pacquiao being this and all that kind of stuff?
No. No, I don't.
Okay. Mel Smith Jr., talk to me.
First of all, I agree with how Rustin said 1,000%. First of all, I don't want to I don't want to see the fight 1 or 2 years hence. I want to see the damn fight right now, a few months from now. I don't want to see it next year. I don't want to see it 2 years from now. I want to see it when these two guys still have a decent skills. I don't want to see it when they're both faded or he's waiting for this guy to take some more punishment so he's a little softer when he fights. I want to see the damn fight within the next 6 or 8 months tops. Don't want to see it next year.
I want to see it the year after.
You know, time waits for no man, all right? So, you know, I'll be honest with you, I would have been lost interest in it.
But I'm out of here getting the cane by the time I watch the fight.
Yeah, and what's happening now is this is a plan by Mayweather. What plan? If you don't stay busy in that ring, whether you're fighting a tomato can or can of tuna, you're not sharp, no matter what talents you have.
I mean, not for nothing, but he's proven everybody wrong before, talking all that garbage about ring rust. Everybody's always talking about ring rust with him, and he's always proving everybody wrong, so
Let me tell you something. When he came back and he demanded a pay-per-view fight, he had to fight a contender. Who did he pick? Anybody in his weight class? Paul Williams? No. He picked a lightweight.
Nobody was talking about Paul Williams. Why should him, who's been out of the game, take a chance? Nobody's calling Paul Williams.
But listen, listen to the logic, my friend. He came back. He wanted to fight pay-per-view, not an HBO comeback fight, because he says, I'm not an HBO fighter. I am a pay-per-view fighter. So in order to justify a pay-per-view fighter, he had to fight a champion. He had to fight a well-known classic fighter. Who did he pick? He went down to the lightweights to pick up Marquez. And you know why he got Marquez? Because he didn't call out Marquez. Marquez called him out. And Marquez says, if I can't get Pacquiao, I want to pull Mayweather and I want to fight him and I know I can beat him. That was incentive enough to say, okay, I'll fight you. Okay, a pay-per-view. I got me a contender. And sure, but let me tell you something. I'm not going to go down to 35. He has to come up to 44. What did Marquez say? Man, I've never been any heavier than 32. But for that money and the chance to fight Mayweather, I'm going to fight him. Fight time comes in, and if you looked at that fight, and remember, Mayweather had to pay him $600,000 in penalties because he couldn't make the 44-pound
fight. But he was weight. You could see just by looking at Marquez and looking at him, he's way heavier than Marquez. I mean, it was
he
evident.
He was a junior middleweight when he
evident.
Fought Marquez at 144.
It was evident.
Okay,
I mean,
but
you know.
But what's the point?
That didn't make him better.
Yeah, but the bottom line is he got the pay-per-view fight. And he beat a guy that had given Pacquiao some problems, right?
Yes, but he fought a dude that he was way bigger. He weighed 53.5 pounds.
You know, Harold, 44. I mean, Dusty, nowadays,
that doesn't make a difference.
Since Harold fought Tommy Hearns, everybody's been bigger. It's about time that boxing got back to weighing in the day of the fight. All this other stuff is, excuse the terminology, mothers across the world, it's bullshit. This stuff,
exactly. Weighing
in on a Friday at 4 o'clock and then fighting midnight the next day.
Absolutely.
And Harold,
I agree.
And watching your fight against Tommy Hearns, because, I mean, you got in the right hand against Tommy. I mean, Harold, you're a promoter. What's the logic of this, Harold? Why are they doing this, Harold? You're a promoter. Why do they weigh in the day before the fight, Harold?
Well, the nonsense Probably. That they say that they is the media, they want to get more media coverage, and that's going to be a lot of publicity, and that's how they're just trying to draw more attention to the fight. It doesn't, and the whole picture of this is that it doesn't help the fighter out at all. Somebody's going to have a disadvantage to this whole thing.
Absolutely.
And so when you have a guy that can dry out and wait the way he want to wait and then put on 20 more pounds the next day, that is not the equal fight, because now the other guy is coming in another weight class than what he should be, because he's weighing in 36 hours before the fight. And so
Absolutely. Basically
the boxing commissioners think that they're doing the right thing, but they're not. All they're doing is playing up to the fact of the media coverage. But that's not good for the fighters, and that's what's wrong with the whole game. And when Floyd Mayweather fought that young, Marquez, you know, that was in a fight because he knew he was bigger than Marquez. That's the reason why he took the fight.
Way bigger.
If you want to make mental pictures, you look at when Tony Weeks was giving them instructions, this is what I saw, ladies and gentlemen. I saw Floyd Mayweather / Marvin Hagler versus Juan Manuel Marquez / Willie Pep. That's the difference. And when Floyd Mayweather threw a nobody, just a swing left hook, in the second round, he dropped Marquez like a lead balloon. Marquez just made it to the count of 9. That's how big he was. When Marquez was offensive, it was
gentlemen,
like,
good. That's good.
I got a quick question for you guys. Did Mayweather start his wrestling career to take attention away from the fact that he didn't want to fight anymore?
No, he did it because being a wrestler on the panel. He did it because Vince McMahon gave him $5.5 million.
So, you don't think it was the $5.5 million?
He gave him $5.5 million to show up at WrestleMania and do bits with the 7'2", 500-pound Big Show. That's what he's doing. He picked up an extra $5.5 million doing bits with the Big Show for the WWE.
And that's straight from the mouth of the WWE, as Mel Smith Jr. is only a former WWF star. He's also in connection with that.
I thought he got more than that. I thought he got $30 million.
I thought
the
push
was
$30 million.
Gentlemen,
hold on. Time out. Two things got to be said here. One's happy birthday to my nephew, and also hello to my man Frank DiGostino, who does a nice little show up at the... What's that place again on 34th Street, Big C?
What place on 34th?
The club I was talking about the other night.
I'm drawing a blank, I understand.
The club on 34th Street that I went to the other night telling you about. The Sky Room, is that the Sky Room?
Sky Room.
Yeah, my man. Well, say hello to my man Frank. That's on Wednesday nights. Got a Brazilian thing going up there. They kick off about 10 o'clock. Get up there if you can. Frank DiGostino.
That's right.
But the main thing that got me, and we did a little show on Friday, nobody's talking about Willie Mays' birthday. How can you not talk about Willie Mays?
Willie Mays!
Happy birthday, Willie. 80 years old.
80 years old. Willie Mays was the first player in baseball history with over 500 home runs, 500 doubles, 3,000 base hits, lifetime 302 hitter, over 3,000 hits, 660 home runs, the greatest defensive center fielder of all time, the first man in baseball history to retire with over 400 home runs and 300 stolen bases. The only home run hitter in the history of baseball, okay, to lead the league in stolen bases. Did that 4 years in a row. What can you say? I mean, he's the greatest player.
The dude was bonkers.
Was that?
That dude was bonkers.
Yeah, you know what? I asked Willie Stargell one time, who's the best player to ever play? He said Willie Mays. I mean, and the answer to the question is if I asked him, I was just 2-2. And I said, why? He said, because
who's
the
best
game
today
was made for Willie. Today,
but you see, Doc, you got these commentators. I mean, this is one of the reasons why the layman may not remember Willie Mays because he's out of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The fan himself may not remember Willie Mays because he's out of baseball. What generates the interest and keeps the interest going? These commentators, you see these sports shows. I mean, you know, I am a watcher of everything sports. I see these Mike and Mike, Franco, the Mad Dog, ESPN, Fire Army, ESPN2, at 20,000 sports shows, and not one jackass went up there and say, hey, fellas, this is today's Willie Mays birthday. Why? Nothing.
You know what?
And that's why people.
Howie Evans said the problem with today's sports it's a situation. If it's a right now situation. Now I remember the 1997 All Star Game, and this sports writer came up to and what we're going to do, of course, it happened again. We're going to close out this segment and go to a half hour of Sports and Death with the lights off and the mic on, and we'd like everybody to stay with us. He asked Oscar Robertson, you know, today's basketball players are not cognizant of the guys who come before them.
Absolutely.
Oscar said, no. Oscar, hey. He said, it's not just basketball players. He said, it's across the board in our society.
Sure.
Unfortunately, nobody is cognizant. He said, I'm talking about lawyers. I'm talking about doctors. I'm talking about painters. I'm talking about bus drivers. I'm talking about nobody today is cognizant of the people who went before him because that's just the way the situation is. You know, I mean, I remember this great line.
You remember Vince Coleman?
Yeah, well, hold on. No. Yeah, but Vince Coleman did not say, I don't know about no Jackie Robinson. Okay.
Doc, he was live TV when I heard him say that.
Dusty, it could have been live TV because I personally talked to Vince.
All right.
Personally
tell me what it was.
Ozzy. Okay. I'll tell you the story on the next half hour because Vince Coleman did not say I owe him nothing.
It.
I don't know nothing about no Jack. I want you to give me that tape.
Dusty.
Big C, hit us out. We'll come back in a half hour. Second mic on, lights off. I want you to give me that tape because I'm going to tell you what Ozzy said.
You know, I don't have a tape.
Big C.
I got everybody to wish you on your Mother's Day.
Okay.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thanks for being, gang.
Good night, folks.
Okay.
Bye.
Gang, hold on.
I'll be talking to you.
Marie, you going to stay with us or you got to go?
No, I'm going to go now. I'll be talking to you before you leave, okay?
Okay, thanks, Marie. Thanks for being with
us. Okay, thank you.
Pleasure, Marie. Happy Mother's Day.
My pleasure. Thank
Happy
you.
Mother's Day. Happy
We're going to do
Day.
The next half hour, Sports
thank
and Depth.
Thank you.
Mic on, lights off, and continue here. Good part you brought up. And as always, dear Lord, thank you. Bless the mothers across the world. And thank you for all good and wonderful things, for they come from you. Amen. Big Z, Larry Hardesty, please.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
And what we're going to do, without further ado, and real quickly, we're going to come on, Big Seager. We're going to open up with Larry Hardesty bringing us back to this last half hour, more Sports in Depth with the mic on, lights off. Milo, you still with us? Lady A?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dusty?
I'm here, so don't bother me.
Oh. Okay. Big C, hit us on with Larry Stard, then we're going to do this last half hour. And Sports in Depth with the mic on, lights off.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
And of course, we've got to come in with John Coltrane, please. Dear Lord, I love the song, too. Thank you. Simple, yet heartfelt. Redundant, resounding. Thank you.
for our beloved mothers, those that are with us, those that were with us, and those that are forthcoming. Thank you for blessings, all undeserved, unacknowledged, and unseen. Thank you for little things we are so large to take for granted. And thank you for being our God, your darling son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. And with that, Big C, I'm going to call you on the control line, too. And, you know, see, the thing about the guy who wrote that story, it's amazing, was Dick Young. And Dick Young, and I tried to get her to join us for a little while tonight, Susie Russ, who will be with us in the future, the daughter of the late, great Arthur George there, Mel Smith, Lulu Kelko. Susie's going to join us down the line because I wanted to mention that, you know, Art was the mother of sports. And, you know, it was Dick Young that wrote that. I remember Dick Young wrote a story about 50 years ago. He wrote a story about how Willie Mays was no longer the best player in baseball because Willie Mays got tired. You know, he was making this kind of money, and yet Willie Mays, you know, I guess, you know, an animal or a N-E-G-R-O is not supposed to get tired. So Willie Mays was no longer the best player in baseball because Willie Mays got tired. Willie Mays was falling out in the dugout from exhaustion, but he was no longer the best player in baseball because this nigga got tired. Now, Mickey Mantle, he said, you know, he plays on these bad legs. He plays so courageously. We're talking about the drunk Mickey Mantle, okay, who's out there playing. But Willie Mays was no longer the best player in baseball because this black man got tired. So now Hank Aaron was the best player in baseball because Willie Mays got tired. This is the same Dick Young who called Jackie Robinson Captain Midnight. Wouldn't call him Jackie. This is the same Dick Young who appealed to the Dodgers. Don't bring Jackie Robinson up! The Negro League! I'm not done here. Baseball is not ready for a black player. This is the same Dick Young who wrote this story about Vince Coleman saying, I don't know nothing about no Jackie Robinson. For the next 5 minutes, you're going to listen in, okay? I go to Ozzie Smith. I said, Ozzie, did Vince say that? He said, no, Vince ain't say that, man. That's not what Vince said. I got to know Vince Coleman, and I asked Vince. And then Vince told me the whole – he said, Whitey Herzog came to him the next day after they lost a close game to the Dodgers. He said, Vince, they've been calling me all night long. Why did you say what you said? So what did I say, Whitey? You don't know nothing about no Jackie Robinson. Vince said, I didn't say that. He said he came over to me and asked me that did you know that on this date, which is in October of 1946, that the Dodgers signed Jackie Robinson, okay, to a minor league contract. And Vince said, no, I didn't know that. That was in the conversation. But this is Dick Young wrote this story about, he said he didn't know nothing about no Jackie Robinson. Dick Young, who didn't get along with Jackie Robinson, Dick Young, who would not call Jackie or Mr. Robinson, call them, as Art Russ told me, call them Captain Midnight. And in a situation that in the ensuing years, he was at a situation, a panel, and he got up and said something, and somebody said, you know, Mr. Young, from all indications, you know, you didn't get along with Jackie Robinson. I mean, where are you coming from? And you know, Dick turned red. So, I mean, why is Dick Young gospel? I mean, here's a guy who wrote a facetious story, and all of a sudden, I mean, could there be any black player to say, I don't know nothing about no Jackie Robinson?
Well, how do you account for my listening and hearing Vince Coleman coming up and says, I don't know the history of Jackie Robinson. I don't relate to him. He said it on TV. And you're not going to tell me what I didn't hear.
I never heard that tape. But I'm just want to
you
say.
You never heard that tape. So now I got to dig it up from the archives,
listen,
right?
This is what I'm saying.
That's why I hate it.
I don't think.
Doc, let me finish
even,
it.
If Vince Coleman would lie to me, one thing, Ozzie Smith said he didn't say it. And for me,
I don't care what Ozzie Smith said.
Yeah, but I do.
I know what I heard. Let me tell you something, Doc. Let me tell you right now. That's why I hate it. I've always hated Vince Coleman for what he said.
He hates Manny Ramirez, too. He hates Manny Ramirez.
And I was hoping that Vince Coleman would go to prison when he got arrested with Doc Gooden and two or three other guys for that gang rape of that girl in Gooden's house. I was hoping he'd go to prison, but he copped out.
What gang rape? What
What gang rape, Dusty?
It was a gang rape.
He ran into a few years ago talking with us. There are accusations about
Dusty,
a couple
Dusty,
of them that...
Dusty,
look,
Dusty.
Wait. No, don't give me that pacifying Dusty Dusty.
Calm down, Dusty. Calm down. Now we went from Jackie Robinson to gang rapes.
That's right. He was involved in a gang rape with Doc Goodman in his house.
Stuff that you read and heard in white publications.
Yeah, sure.
My God.
Yeah.
I'm going there.
Mark what you want.
I'm going there.
That is the truth.
I'm going there. I mean, this, you know, it's amazing, you know, that you know, these stories come out.
Oh, my God.
These stories come out. I mean, they're gang rape. You know?
I can't stop laughing.
They're gang rape, you know. I mean, you know what? In the Joe Frazier documentary, they had a part. One of Joe's friends was saying he's driving along, and these two white girls stop him. They say, "Hey, you know, you want to hang out? You got a friend?" And he said, "Goes by Joe's house." And he said, "Joe, man, I got two nice girls here." And Joe said, "Go home, man." We go with them, and next thing you know, they're going to say they were raped. Go home, get some sleep, and forget about it. Go home, get some sleep, and forget about it.
Doc, can I please get a word in edgewise?
You got apples and oranges, my friend.
May I please get a word in edgewise?
Go ahead. Harold, you still with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Thank you, because it concerns Harold.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Yeah, ask Harold a question.
Harold reminds me of the Rocky, Phineas J. Whoopi, the man with all the answers. Go ahead.
But you know, once you get Doc and Dusty started with something, that's going to take about 20 minutes.
Go ahead, bro. This is true.
Go ahead.
No, I was trying to say that, you know, Harold said something, of course, and so did you, Casino, something that was very, very profound. And it's not profound to YouTube because you know this, but the fans that may not, you know, for the uninitiated, the fact of the matter is that the fact that Pacquiao has been active, and the other guy hasn't been. You know, and I know this from experience myself, you can put 1,000 hours of sparring in the gym. You can spar 1,000 rounds, hit all the heavy bags, speed bags, jump all the rope you want, but it is not going to prepare you for in-ring combat. This weekend, as preparation for the show, I watched again the Harold-Tommy fight, and I am telling you, you can live in a damn gym, and that's not going to be enough to prepare you for a Tommy, okay? So if you don't put in the work like a Howell did and be active, or, you know, like Casino was when he was an amateur gym man, you know, you have to put the time in, the real time, not just hitting the bag, not just sparring in the gym.
But that goes back to what we were talking back about last week, Coco, you know, with Harold. And Harold was saying how back in the 80s, you had guys that were fighting 3-4 times in a year.
Absolutely.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? So that's contributing to Pacquiao's excellence now, level of excellence.
And
you
it
know,
is because,
and,
you know, you can't be dormant and
exactly.
the other guy, you know, fighting regularly and, you know, you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. I don't care how much.
But
he
wait,
comes
but
back and,
also, what Harold said last week too was profound was that people, the top fighters were fighting each other.
Yes.
Hey, you know something, lady? You know what really impressed me about the Harold-Tommy fight? Harold was the first person, I'm a big boxing fan myself, but he was the first person that I had known up to that time. Harold was the first guy to not only kind of be able to get inside that long reach, that ramrod jab and that brutal right hand of Tommy's, but Harold showed that if you got enough heart and you can get inside, you can land the right hand consistently with Tommy.
Absolutely.
I caught that.
You know, and I saw him do that, land his own right hand consistently against Tommy when everybody thought it was an impossibility. That's when Tommy was knocking everybody out in one round, two at the most.
They didn't know how to get inside of him.
Yes, you know. And the thing about
Let me
Harold
ask you
was,
this. Let me ask you guys this, and this is a question that I mean, because, you know, obviously, you know, I could talk boxing all day. But my question, I want to ask you guys this question. Do you think that a way to get to Mayweather is to fight him on the inside? Because naturally, if you cut somebody's speed out and his speed is coming from the outside and you fight him on the inside, do you think that that's a way to beat him? Even though we know that his defense is superb.
And his defense is superb, Lady A. But the reason that I think Manny has a really good chance is, number one, not only is he super busy, but he is a southpaw.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah, of course. That's always a problem.
Well, you know, to try to answer your question about beating Mayweather, I saw Jose Luis Castillo.
Yes.
And jump back another 5 years hence.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar De La Hoya on his way down fighting Mayweather and keeping him nailed on the ropes.
Right.
And ironically enough, these are the two fights that I gave to Castillo and Oscar, because they got to Floyd, even though he was wrapped up with his rope-a-dope and bop. If they threw 20 punches on his arms and elbows, five of them got in.
What do you think, Harold? I'm interested in Harold's opinion, too, because
right. And, yeah. Go ahead. I mean, this is basically my opinion. Yes, you could, but is he going to let you? That's the other end of the equation.
Right.
And you have to go to the body early against him too. You have to go
Absolutely.
To the body early.
Well, you know, when I saw, you know, when you look at the fight, when you look at the fight with Mosley, when he was in the inside and he fought him on the inside in the third, I think it was the third round where he rocked him with that shot.
Third round. It was third round.
He was fighting him on the inside. Was it the third round?
Yeah, third round.
Second
third
round. Second.
Yeah, second.
No, he got him in the third, Dusty.
Third? Okay, third
he
round.
He hit him in the second round, Doc, for God's sake, man.
He got him in the third round, Dusty.
I'm not talking about Pacquiao and Shane Mosley. What are you talking about? Mosley and...
Mayweather. Yeah.
That was the second round.
Oh, Mosley, Mayweather you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
The right hand hurt around the world.
Right. And I mean... Even though he recovered, like I said, at the same time, it's like most of the time I think that if you were to go inside on him, you probably have a better shot. Again, like you said, the trick is actually doing it.
Well,
but.
In that fight,
yeah.
The bigger, stronger man was Mayweather.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Well, you see, now I'm going to go to a controversial.
Go ahead.
A controversial thing where Harold Weston beat the crap out of me. And Harold, you listening?
Yep.
Well... No, it's true. Everybody jumped on the bandwagon beating me up, and I never forgot this. I never forget things. I had the best that I could, and ironically enough, Harold and I tangent each other when I dealt with Gil Clancy, Sid Martin, and Frank Rodriguez. I don't know if Harold ever trained with Frank Rodriguez.
No,
and
I never
one
did.
Time,
I don't.
And one time we talked about clinching, and I made the mistake. I said clinching was an art that was taught. No, you're wrong. It's impossible. Those are the guys that taught me the art of clinching and survival. Now, if you go to that second round of the Mayweather-Mosley fight,
mm-hmm.
when Mosley hit him with that shot heard around the world,
mm-hmm.
and Mayweather was hurt, ready to go down, he grabbed, held, and kept punching. That's the art of clinching, where the referee cannot stop you because you're busy. If he moves one hand, you got the other one clipped under your armpit, hitting your opponent. And by the end of the second round, who was exhausted? It was Shane Mosley. He